Blog Talk Radio.
Talk to real people, investigatory study, intense study. No, we don't do kindergarten. We do master's work. We try to do critical analysis in our assessment. We don't go back for a warm, fuzzy feeling as to ascertain what made us feel good. We're always looking for feel good. Feel good is not enough. We need more than feel good. We need information. Information to solidify our relationship with our Creator, to find out what mistakes we made to get us in these sinking vessels, universally speaking, and how we can get ourselves out of this mess. I want to make mention before we get started in our studies, and my name is Yom Suf Arif, is that there has been over 200,000 deaths in this Western Hemisphere country. And they are still lying to you, and you're lying to yourselves. I suggest that you take this matter quite seriously. Stop lying to yourselves and or each other, saying that it's not a pandemic, it's not a plague, it's all a figmentation of my imagination, it's a hoax. Stop with the foolishness. You better take this seriously. Also, I don't care whether or not Trump stays in or Biden gets in. Why? Why, you may ask? Let me make it quite simple to you. If I was playing on a game board, and I didn't lose the game board, I lost pieces to the game boards, and I changed those pieces, would it change the game? No, the game would still go on, whether or not it's Trump and a Biden. In the final analysis, our situation would still be damn grim in the game that we're playing in this Western Hemisphere, truth be told. So let's get started, shall we? Let me hold on before we get started. Let me turn my chat on. You know, I had fellow on yesterday was chit-chatting with me about the show. I forgot to mention it to Cartrell, and we had the new fellow come on and whatnot, but I'm going to bring Cartrell on before we get started, and he can introduce himself, my fellow host on the Real Talk for Real People show. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, Brother Yom Suf Arif. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother. May the Most High bless you. Well, listeners, well, fellow students, study buddies and sisters, let us get started. Turn to the first book.
Before you get started, you made some comments about the coronavirus, and 200,000 people have lost their lives.
Right.
And a lot of it is amongst our people and amongst elders.
True.
And you're saying, the leaders of this nation are lying. You're talking about something that people are going to look back on in history because the count hasn't stopped. This man is worse than Jim Jones, who took people down to Guyana and gave them Kool-Aid to kill himself.
Well,
Donald Trump already broke his record.
Oh, yeah. I think it was 900 something in Guyana, and he's broken that record 10 times over. He's given people Kool-Aid. They Kool-Aid, which is lies, misdirection, and confusion. And no solution.
You can see that people have become so numb to death and people dying that people don't even care. 200,000 is alarming.
That's a lot of people. And we should be alarmed, Cartier. That's why we make mention. That's why we make mention of this catastrophe on the Real Talk for Real People study show, because we are concerned about humans. We are concerned about their lives, their passing, and whatnot, and we don't take it for granted, because if it weren't for the Most High, there go you and I. So we take this quite seriously.
And we're not talking about a year
Cartier,
or two-month period. About a six-month period.
Yeah.
Six months, 7 months.
And they're talking about they're not going to have vaccines to 2024 for everybody. I'm not taking it anyway. But they're saying that they're not having vaccines in 2024. So, and imagine how many more people it's going to pass. Over a million some people by the looks of it.
One more thing. People need to do their research. What stopped the plague in 1918?
Right.
They wore masks.
They wore masks.
Exactly.
They washed their hands.
Yep. Social distancing.
Right. All those things. Kadria, you know, we were talking last night after the show, and I call you, and I call Avia, and you remember I told you I was going to go get that cod liver oil, and I went and got it. Man, that cod liver oil costs, man, $14, but it's well worth it, well worth the investment. That cod liver oil I got at Walgreens, as I indicated to you, I was going to go pick up and purchase me something, $14. For some cod liver oil, but you know, what price would you pay on your survival? What price would you put on your survival? So $14 is not a whole lot of money to keep you healthy and keep your mind together under this plague. Rona, Ms. Rona. And for your information, listeners, my mother called me today, my Emoa. She was up, she was fiery. She said she had heard from me and whatnot. She told me, I need to call much more. I said, yes, ma'am, I certainly will. I said, what are you talking about, mama? Like, how many? What you mean quite often? Every other day. I said, yes, ma'am, okay. That makes you happy. She said, yeah, get off my phone. Right, that's what I did. Listeners, let's get started, okay? Thank you, Kadria, for that input again about the coronavirus. It's something serious. So let us get, and one thing we're going to find out, Sarah, even in her old age, she was beautiful. As they said, black don't crack. She was still fine looking. As we see, turn to the 20th chapter of Bereshit.
Have you seen Diana Ross and Tina Turner lately?
Oh, yeah, they still got it going on.
How old are they? They're older than me and you.
Man, them went about 90 years old.
They're about like that, right?
Yeah, they're about like
Sarah. Not age, man.
Okay, I won't tell the age. It's impolite to tell women's age.
But they look good.
Yeah, they still look good.
And they're older than us, bro.
Exactly. They still got it going on.
Yep.
You know who I used to like? That Urta Kitt. That Urta Kitt, man. I thought Urta Kitt, even, you know, Urta Kitt had been in the 30s. I had to have been, what, 19, 20. I thought that Urta Kitt, meow, I thought she was a cat lady. Ooh, Urta Kitt.
How about Vanetta McGee and Pam Grier?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Vanetta and Pam. But I still like that Urta Kitt. Meow, she played cat lady.
She was very talented, man.
Oh, she was.
That was a talented sister.
She was a sexy sister.
She was kind of like the female Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, yeah. But she was a sexy old bro. I used to like me some Urta Kitt. Yeah.
Yeah. She broke a lot of barriers for like sisters being actresses.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because she wasn't no big woman. She was very petite, a very petite little woman. But she had a huge personality.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
Days gone by, bro.
Man, days gone by. All right, brothers and sisters, and Cartrell, let us get started in our studies. May the Most High bless you by the reading and investigatory studies of His Word, and most importantly, the application. Abraham journeyed from there to the region of Negev, a land which is, by the virtue of the name, a dry land, and settled between Kadesh and Shur. While he was sojourning in Gerar, Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, he told her, and you're going to find out, this is quite interesting. He said to her, you my sister. She's my sister. So King Abimelech of Gerar had Sarah brought to him, because he said, that's my sister. But Yah came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, You gonna die because of the woman that you have taken. She's a married woman. Now, King Abimelech had not approached her. Simply, he had no sexual relationship with her as of yet. And he said, "Oh Elohim, will you slay people even though innocent?" He himself said to me, Abraham said to me, he himself, she's my sister, I never would have took her. But she also said, he is my brother. And you're going to find out they actually were kin. When I did what I did, my heart was blazing. I didn't know. And my hands were clean. And y'all
So I got to stop you. Because
mm-hmm.
What law was they going by? The law of Moses?
No, they weren't going by the law of Moses.
So there's good and evil in the earth. And if you sleep with somebody's wife, they know that's evil, right?
That's
from
evil.
Jump.
From Jump Street. You don't both be messing with no man's wife or husband or a woman's husband.
Right. And
you talk about
Abimelech, who's king of the Philistines.
Right.
Do we know who the Philistines are?
They are enemy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to get into that.
He knew right from wrong.
Yeah.
King Abimelech knew right from wrong, even though they were our enemy. He wouldn't approach Abraham like that because he knew Abraham was a mighty man. He wouldn't come at him like that.
How about Donald Trump?
Man, don't even talk about clown. He would even got a dream. He would have got a nightmare on Elm Street.
That's what he's probably having.
Yeah,
but,
nightmare on Elm Street.
Show that these ancient kings had integrity.
Right.
But it shows a pattern. If you bring a fine woman into my country, we're going to take her if I'm the king.
Yeah, hey, I can get
her. If you are a husband,
yeah.
I might
get you
to take her.
He said that when his wife, he said that was his sister, you know.
Right.
She said that my brother, you know. I said that, I
wanted
her.
He took her. He took her, just like
Pharaoh
did.
Right.
And we see the pattern of ancient kings. That's why Abraham had to tell Sarah, see, these men will take you. These kings of these lands, these nations we going into, they will take you when they find out I'm your husband. As far
well,
as you look.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Abraham was cognizant. It tells us something about Abraham. He was cognizant. He was situational aware of his environment, unlike some of us. He was situationally aware of his environment. You have to be situationally aware of your environment. And Abraham,
not only was he situationally aware of his environment, he was aware that Yah was with him and Sarah, that he would protect them because he told them to go on that journey.
Exactly. Even that being said, he was still situationally aware, though.
Yes, had to be.
Right. And Yah said to him, King Abimelech, in a dream, I knew that you did with a blameless heart. And so I kept you from sinning against me. I knew what you did, and I knew you were blameless. That's why I kept you from sinning for me.
But you
That's
see how the Most High comes to other people, even kings of other nations. He came to Pharaoh, and Joseph had to interpret his dream. He came to Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel had to interpret his dream. Right now, he's dealing with Abimelech, and Abimelech knows what's going on.
Exactly.
He ain't no Israelite.
No. But he was doing right by him because he didn't know. He knew the man didn't know. So he couldn't hold him accountable for something he didn't know.
Right.
And he said, that's why I did not let you touch her. Therefore, restore the man's wife. Since he is a prophet, he's my prophet.
What is Abraham?
He was a prophet.
We don't label him as a prophet, do we?
Well, that's what Yah said. I don't care what we label. What we label don't make no difference. What did Yah say? Yah said he a prophet. So who cares about what we label? We only care, contrary, you and I know what the Most High says.
But you got to check out this intimate conversation that the Most High is having with this king of the Philistine through his dream.
About Abraham, the rock we are hewn from.
That's right.
He will intercede for you to save your life. If you fail to restore her, Sarah, know that you shall die, you and all that are your everything, you and everything in your household gonna die. I'm killing everybody. I ain't playing, it's something serious. So early the next morning, without hesitation and a reservation, Emily, first thing in the morning, called his servants and told them all that happened. He told them what happened. And the men were greatly frightened. Oh, Lord, Then Amalek summoned Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? What wrong have I done to you to bring such a great gift upon me and my kingdom? You have done to me things that ought not be done. You should have did what you did." What then, Amalek demanded of Abraham, "Why you did what you did, Abraham?"
You know, as your brother was with him, right?
Right. He got upset with it. He said, he demanded of Abraham, "What was your purpose? Why'd you do what you do? What was your purpose in doing it? Why'd you do what you did?" But Abraham said, "I thought," said Abraham, "surely there is no fear of Yah. And I didn't think you knew Yah. I didn't think you were afraid of Yah. I thought I was dealing with people that didn't know Yah. So I did with you like I thought you didn't know Yah. And I thought you didn't know Yah that you would kill me because of my beautiful, gorgeous wife, Sarah. And besides, she is in truth my sister." Y'all missed this. But this some a lot of folk don't tell you because they try to think, don't clean up nothing. There ain't no shame in what's going on here, okay?
The king didn't do a thorough investigation. Yeah,
right.
She's my sister, but you didn't ask the next question.
Right. Yeah. And
why are you so tight?
But now here's how he explained it. My father's daughter, she is my biological father's daughter, though not my mother. We got the same daddy, but we got different mother. And she became my wife. Me and Sarah got the same daddy, but we got two different mamas. So she didn't lie to you. So in the spiritual sense, she's my sister. In the physical sense, by virtue of our biological relationship through our father, she is, in a sense, biologically, my sister, although we had two different mamas. Y'all didn't know that.
So we got to stop there, Ak, because in the law of Moses, you cannot marry your sister by your father.
No, you can't. But see, this wasn't the law of Moses. This is the law of Moses.
Exactly.
Okay? So, see, things change. See, Yah can do whatever he want to do, when he want to do it, however, whatsoever he wants to do it. Apparently, these things were quite familiar and going on at that time. But the Most High cut that off. So don't think Abraham, or imagine or suspect Abraham was the only one that got down like that. Apparently, a lot of brothers and half-sisters got down like that. But the Most High cut all that out. Said, no, we're going to stop all that. Too many women. Y'all don't need to do that no more. We're going to cut that off. Under the law of Moses, we ain't going to have none of that no more. You can't do that. Okay? But at that time, it wouldn't count it as something against Abraham. Because obviously it was quite the king Amalek and nobody else saw anything wrong with it. They said, hey, okay, whatever. We didn't know. You know. And so, yeah. So don't knock the rock we're hewn from, okay? It was common practice at that time, apparently. And he says, okay, my father, and she became my wife. And then Yah made me wonder for my father's house. And I said to her, "Let this be the kindness that you shall do to me." He asked her a favor, and he asked his wife, "Whatever place we come to, say there of me, he is my brother." So you ain't lying. He didn't tell her to lie because she wasn't lying. She was, you're my brother in the physical sense, by virtue, we come from the same father but different mothers. You are my brother. And in the spiritual sense, you are my sister. So you're looking out for me. I'm going to look out for you. King Amalek.
Also, the fact that he asked her permission to do that. Right. He just commanded her to do that.
That's why some of our thinkers are broken, not Cartrell. See, we think we can treat our women any kind of old tacky old way. Tacky, trashy, and a terroristic. And most often, all three together sometimes. We treat our women tacky, trashy, and terroristic. See, that ain't the way the rock we were hewn from treated his wife. He treated her as an equal, a friend, someone who he seek counsel and who he got counsel from.
He treated. I just want to add to that.
Right.
That he had power and might. Why do we know that? Because he rescued his nephew Lot from five nations. Who does that?
That's a man of honor.
Men.
That's a mighty man, a man of honor, a man of character. He didn't have chicken spurs in his feet. Okay.
Bone spurs, not chicken spurs. But chicken spurs, yeah. I like the way you call that.
I meant what I said, Kajay. He didn't have chicken spurs.
You ain't stutter. Chicken spurs. I am not going to Vietnam. And I ain't blame him.
Yeah. Okay, Kajay.
I heard stories of brothers was doing worse than that, son. And I ain't going to even, disgrace this show. That's the things they was doing to get out of the Vietnam War.
Yeah, I heard they was eating soap to make the pressure high or something. I heard it all. I heard it all. Yeah.
Putting peanut butter in their underwear and acting like they're crazy.
Mm-hmm. And King Amalek took sheep, oxen, male and female slave servants and gave them to Abraham. And he restored his wife Sarah to him. And Amalek, King Amalek said, "Here, my land is before you. This is my land. Settle anywhere you please." And to Sarah, he said, "I herewith give your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. This will serve you as a vindication before all who are with you. You are cleared before anyone. You didn't do no dirty. You didn't do no nasty. And you're cleared in the eyes of everyone, which I didn't put my hands on you." Abraham then prayed to Yah, and Yah healed King Amalek and his wife and his slave girl so that they bore children as a result of the Most High blessing him through the intercession of our forefather Abraham. So the Elohim had closed, because before that time, for the Elohim had closed fast every womb of the household of Aaron. He couldn't have no children by none of them women of King Amalek, but because of Sarah, the wife of Abraham, they couldn't have no babies. But because of Sarah and making things right, and the prophet Abraham praying for him, his household became fruitful and multiplied. Katria, your comments on that, my brother?
Yes, we got to rewind a little bit because we know the angels came to Sarah and Abraham and told them that she was going to have a child. And what they do? They laugh, right?
Exactly.
And Sarah's saying she's past the age of having children, right?
Exactly.
That's why she gave up Hagar, her handmaid, and went through all that machination with Hagar, but she had to take Hagar back. Now they're in Egypt with Hagar, right? That's where Hagar come from. She comes from Egypt. I mean, they're in the land of the Philistines, Abimelech. They're the Philistines.
Right.
So the same scenario is playing out where Abraham going in, right? They didn't choose Hagar. They didn't take Hagar, did he? He didn't give instructions to Hagar. We know Hagar was with him.
They didn't want Hagar.
Who they want? This old lady that couldn't have children.
They wanted one of them Supremes.
Yeah.
They wanted one of them Supremes.
The Most High was showing Sarah his power. The Most High was showing Sarah his power.
Exactly.
You're the focus point right here. The king wanted to take you. You talk about you can't have children. Guess what? I'm going to shut this whole nation down where none of the women can have babies.
Because of you.
So y'all was showing that he got control of the womb.
Show you how important our women are. It shows how important our women are to this nation.
It shows the power of the Most High. When he wants you to have a baby, you can have a baby. If he don't want you to have a baby, he can shut it down.
The whole nation can't name one of them women have no babies. Because of you.
And can he do that today?
If he wanted to, he got Rona running around him. What you talking about?
Scientists trying to get around it with what they call it, virtual insemination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got test tube babies, and they got all kind of things to help their women have babies.
Exactly.
Through science. But when y'all want to shut it down, it shuts it down.
You shut it down anyway, whatever you're doing.
And they were spiritual enough to know that there's something wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong here. Huh?
Our women can't have no babies. What's going on? What's really going on?
For real. But at least they were tuned in. So you got to give props to the Philistine, this Philistine king here, because he listened to his dreams. He had a conversation with Yah. He knew what the problem was. He was definitely pissed off at Abraham, but Abraham didn't lie. But he knew how kings dealt in that day. That's why the Most High told King David and all other kings of Israel, you cannot be like these kings. And King David slipped up. He took a man's wife, sent her to the front line, killed him, got her pregnant.
Right.
And he thought he could get away with it. But no, supposed to do that. Even the Philistine king Abimelech knew. If this man is married, trust me, I'm not sleeping with his wife.
Nah, and that's dead on that. I ain't looking at her twice.
There you go. But she up in your crib looking so fine. And he telling you that's my sister.
She's crazy fine. She can get up fine behind me on out of here if she ain't mine.
With some gifts so we can have some babies.
Take all these gifts and get to getting. Get on out of here. Where your husband at? Hey, man, what you doing up in here anyway? You need to get on out of here, okay?
And he's one man with 318 men.
Mm-hmm.
This nation could have killed them. Like, you brought this curse upon us. Yo, send up the elite troop and take these people's heads. He deceived me. Right.
Yeah, I looked at some of those Philistines. I looked at their images. They look remotely like us. Contrail.
They from Ham. As a matter of fact, the Philistines are from Mizraim. They are cousins to the Egyptians. They come from the same father.
Yeah, they had so-called Negroid features.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So-called
Negroid features.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to start off in a new book, Malachi. Turn to the first chapter. Not much is known about Malachi, but even that being said, he had a whole lot to say. And believe you me, it is something quite serious. Yeah, the Most High's love, Israel beloved, is beloved of Yah. We're beloved of Yah. He loves us with our trifling behind. May the Most High bless you, listeners, by the reading, investigatory studies, intense studies, turning over every leaf burning at midnight, or to ascertain the who, what, when, where, and how, as to how the Most High, Elohim Yah, would have us be toward him, and him toward us, and us toward other nations. May the Most High bless you. The burden of the Elohim, the burden of the word of the Elohim to Israel by Malachi. Israel, I have loved you, says the Elohim. This is a love story, a love chapter. I have loved you, says the Elohim. Yet you said, in what way have you loved us? How you love her? What you talking about? You love her? What you saying? And he said, was not Esau Jacob's brother? Wasn't he Jacob's brother too? Says the Elohim. Yeah, Jacob, I love y'all. Even Esau, I didn't choose Esau. He was the firstborn, but I didn't want him. I wanted you. I wanted y'all. That's how I love you. I chose Esau over you, but Esau I hated and laid waste his mountain, the mountains of Seir, and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. They ain't there no more, but they universally, they're universally everywhere, and they're in charge of everything most now because they're still universally here. They hide behind covers. But I destroyed them. I took their mountains and their heritages for the jackals of the wilderness. I ran them out. Even though Edom had said, we've been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate place. We coming back. Even though Edom told me, you made us impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate place. We coming back. Thus said the Elohim of hosts. They may build, they may come back, but I throw it down. They shall be called a territory of wickedness. And universally speaking, I ain't lying. And universally speaking, the Most High ain't lying. They're, wherever they're at, they're called a territory of wickedness.
They didn't have the humility. They're going to do what they want to do in spite of what Yah said for them to do.
They ain't got no humility. I mean, you can see the residual effect. Look at this man in the office. Look at this man in the office. They have no humility. Humility is not part of their innate nature. Okay?
The universe they went back to the land without Yah's help, claiming to be Israel.
Right.
The only way they got there was by American and British assistance.
Well, but it was Edomites in them, too. It was Edomites hiding in their organization, too. That's how the Edomites hiding in their organization helped them. The Edomites hiding in Britain helped them. The Edomites hiding in United States of America helped them. So this is a university of conspiracy, okay? So, yeah, we got back in 1948, and we're saying we're them. We're saying we're them. We there. We go, we staying. But the Most High said, I'm going to tear you down wherever you at. You come back here all you want to, as long as you want to. But wherever you at, you're going to be called a territory of wickedness, and certainly in that case, as we speak over there, and certainly in the case where ever they are universally hidden, they're the same kind of wicked folks.
So it's not Yom Suk that's saying this.
No.
It's not Kasiel that's saying this. These are the words of the prophet Malachi, who's a prophet of the Most High God. This is the Most High God's word.
Exactly. So, wherever you hanging out, it's going to be called a territorial wickedness. United States of America, Britain, hiding in India, hiding in Brazil, hiding in Australia, hiding in Russia, wherever you hiding at, it's going to be called a territorial wickedness. And you didn't get back over here, territorial wickedness. I ain't saying that.
They're trying to claim Palestinian territory, but we just read, when Abraham went into the land of the Philistine king said, you could pick out any spot you want to and do you.
Show them love.
God already told him that.
Show them love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have no conflict.
Because the Most High was with our father Abraham. And that's the only way we're going to take our land back. Because our brother's in there. He said he's going to rebuild it in spite of what Yah plans are for Israel to return. Esau said, we're going to return and build it up.
I don't think about my damn brother. I don't give a damn about my brother. We back.
Most of us said, go ahead with yourself. Build it up, but I'm going to throw it down. That's
exactly
why what they call the Middle East, Israel, and the Palestinians and Arab governments, it's the tinderbox for World War III.
Yep.
Everybody know that. If it jump off in the Middle East.
You're doing something they ain't got no business doing.
That's right.
When you're doing something you ain't got no business doing, the Most High didn't give you authority to do, you can set yourself up for a great big fall. Okay?
How many peace pacts have they tried to come to terms with?
Oh, man, they've been making peace pacts since they've been there. They ain't lasted long at all. Peace pacts.
Because they just made some recent peace pacts, but.
Yeah, well, how long that's going to take?
Y'all say you're going to throw it down.
Yeah, how long that's going to last? There ain't going to be no peace to the right for folks get there. Okay? Esau may be there. The one that was red and born hairy. He may be there, but Jacob is not there because they scattered everywhere. Matter of fact, their brains are scattered too, wherever they're scattered. Let us continue our studies. And they said they should be in our throat, okay. And the people
four.
Are getting, okay, four. I'm at four. And they may be, but I will throw down. They should be called the territory of wickedness. And the people against whom the Elohim will have indignation. The Most High has indignation for these people forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Elohim is magnified beyond the borders of Israel.
Yes. And that's
everybody gonna know. There ain't gonna be no secret. When I do what I do, there ain't gonna be no secret. Not only Yaqub gonna know, but everybody gonna know. I'm not playing. Y'all think this is a joke. Y'all think y'all playing with me? But I'm gonna show everybody. It's gonna be universally known. What's up? What time it is? Ain't nothing to
hide.
And
you won't lose your computer or your television set.
Truth be told. And then he says to us, to polluted offer you offered me, my beloved. He goes on to explain, Yah. A son honors his father, a servant his master. And when I am the father.
Excuse me. He's the what?
If then I am the father, if I'm your father, Yaqub, Israel, and Yahushua,
I don't know nothing about nothing
they talking about, bro. I'm just reading here what Yah said. All that, okay. What they talking about, that's something beyond me, okay? All I need to know, Cartrell, is what Yah said. And Yah said, I am the father.
Yes.
And he's the father of Yaqub.
Yes.
The nation of Israel. My beloved child.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, but in regards to you, where's my honor? If I'm a master, where's my reverence? Why you don't reverence me? You reverence everybody but me. Says the Elohim.
Reverend Al Chopin.
Hey, Reverend Ike. I see you some oil in a prayer call. Mm-hmm.
I call him Paul Reverend Pork Chop.
Reverend Pig Feet. But they get in reverence, says the Elohim of hosts. To you priests who despise my name. You don't like Cartrell. You don't like Yumsu. And you know why you don't like Cartrell? And you know why you don't like Yumsu? Because you despise my name. And they call out my name. Yah. They're Elohim. Yet you
Everybody else calling somebody else. Who y'all calling?
Yeah, well, you despise Cartrell and Yumsu, but I love them. Yet you said, in what way will we despise your name? Because you're calling on different gods. You're calling on different religions. And you're exercising whatever they tell you to do. You're celebrating these holidays. And it leads you penniless in the days, and you're celebrating these birthdays, and are you celebrating everything? Yo,
They get ready for Halloween.
Oh yeah, witches and goblins.
What is that?
Witches and goblins.
Sending their little children out on
Let's
Halloween.
Get them Let's get a little children. That really good thing, your child. Hey, don't be giving Gregory none of that, Ema. Don't be telling Gregory none of that. I'm telling you, don't be telling Gregory nothing about no Halloween, okay? That nonsense.
No matter how safe they try to make it for the children.
Well, you tell Gregory, here's what we're going to do, Gregory. Now, if you want to be entertained, Mama going to have a little get-together for you, and we're going to get the love on you, but this ain't got nothing to do with Halloween, because we don't do no celebrating like that. We don't do none of that. Yeah, Sue said, you don't do that. If you want some candy, Mama go get you some candy, okay? You can't have a whole lot, but we just going to have some. Mama going to love. This is going to be Mama going to love Gregory Day, and Gregory going to love Mama Day, and Gregory going to have some friends over here, and we going to love on each other, because we going to talk about y'all. That's what we going to do, okay? You hear me, Gregory? Don't be asking your Ema about no Halloween candy. Just say, Ema, give me some candy. Oh, Sue said I can have some candy. This love on Gregory Day. This love on Ema Day. Okay. And Sue said I can have some candy. And you offered defiled food on my altar, my children. You offered defiled food on my altar. But you said, in what way we defiled you? You offered defiled food by saying the table of the Elohim is contemptible. Man, this is contemptible. And when you offer the blind dead, hold on, not only that, you were offering bad offerings. You offered blind as a sacrifice. And I told you, don't be offering no blind and crippled, lame animals. Is this not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is this
wait,
not
wait, wait,
evil?
Wait a minute. We had those animals in our hands, and we were sacrificing those type of animals, and here we are in captivity, and we buy our meat from people and animals we don't even know.
Well, they don't know what they're offering to the Most High. They don't know what they're doing, bro. I told you, not only we're scattered, our minds are scattered, okay?
No, that's very important because we were in our land at this time. He said we offered polluted, blind animals. The animal is supposed to be unblemished. No blemish in it.
No lame, no sick animals. The first choice of your flock. You don't go in your flock, okay, give me that lame sheep. Give me that blind goat.
No, you're supposed to have it yourself. You're supposed to be buying it from a stranger, your enemies. You buying meat from your enemies and offer it to Yah. That's double polluted.
How that work?
Laughing.
How that work?
But we reading it right here.
How that work?
I don't know. It don't work. It ain't working for me because I ain't offering no sacrifices.
And I ain't
captivity, bro.
I ain't read nowhere that I need to offer anything in captivity. But now when I'm back in the holy in the great assembly, I'm gonna do everything y'all tell me and then some. I ain't gonna do no extra. But I'm gonna do whatever you tell me to the best of my ability. I ain't offer no lame, no blind, no cripple or whatnot. And if I ain't got it, if that ain't what I do. Well, I go to Cartrell and buy something here. I'm telling you. If Cartrell raises sheep, hey, Cartrell, look here, man. I'll let you have a couple of horses, a couple of ox. I need some of them sheep. I got to go to the You going to the temple. I know you're going to the temple. I need some of your first choice. Don't bring me them blind and crippled and lame. I want just like what you finna take. So I got a couple of ox or whatnot, and I got some grapes on the vine. And they ain't got off the vine yet, but when they get off the vine, I got some for you, you know. So I need
No, that ain't how it works. Whatever comes off the vine, that's good for you. Got to go to Yah. It don't go to me. Go to the.
No. They're going to give you some. I ain't going to give you the first stop now. I ain't going to give you the Most High stuff now. So I'm getting the Most High, the first choice. But, you know, whatever I got left over, you know, I got you. Okay?
That's the protocol. I can't get the best of what you got.
No, I ain't doing it like that, player. I ain't getting into trouble with Yah because of you. I love you, Cartier. But don't get it twisted. I'm not giving you a little something. But I ain't giving you the first choice now. I'm going to give you a little something. Don't get it twisted. But you ain't going to get the first choice. I don't need no.
Because I need to plow my grape field.
well, it may be a blind ox, but it still works. Okay?
Oh, yeah. You get the job done.
As a contrary, you know, this ox blind, but he works 24/7 now. You know, why are you going to give me a blind contrary? You already know that. You're rude, baby boy. I got to get a Most High the first fruit. I can't give you that good ox over there. You know, you got to take this blind ox. You know how I go down.
The ox supposed to have blinders on anyway, so you don't eat.
Well, see, it'll save you some trouble, then. You ain't got to worry about the blinders.
There you go.
All right, listen, let's get back to our studies. Me and Cartier, we do have a sense of humor because, as you will find out, one of our forefathers, Isaac, a man that made people laugh, had a sense of humor, too. If you wonder why Cartier and I have a sense of humor, Isaac had a sense of humor. You will find that in our studies, too. People laugh with him. He was that kind of person.
I'm gonna tell you this though. Ain't nothing about what we read is funny though. There's nothing in here that's funny.
That's some of the most serious things that said in jest. We find no humor in this matter.
Nothing funny about this chapter, man.
And he said, and you offered lame and sick. Is this not evil? Offer it to your governor. Give what you give to me that your governor did. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept your favorability? Says the Elohim of hope. If you think it's good to give it to me, what you give to your governor then? Y'all ain't nothing to play with.
He got a sense of humor.
That's a dry sense of humor, but it is. Y'all say, okay, you saying this okay? Well, you giving it to your governor then, if it's all right. That's a bad sense of humor.
If he didn't think the governor would take it, it must have been some bad offering.
That's what I'm saying. But now entreat Yah's favor. Now here's what you all do. I have a solution. Now entreat Yah's favor.
Antidote.
That he may be gracious to you. Why
grace,
this is
looking for grace in church, right? No.
I didn't read that, bro. I'm reading that I may be gracious to Yah.
Grace to Yah's people.
Right. That he may be gracious to us because we entreat him.
Yes.
Why this is being done by your hands? Will he accept you favorably? Says the Elohim of hosts. Who is there among you who will shut the doors so that you will not kindle fire on my altar in vain?
Where are we supposed to kindle the fire?
On my altar?
Uh-oh.
And who
will
shut
the doors in captivity?
No. If somebody doing something according to this, as I said, not only we're scattered universally speaking, we're scattered in the mind, some of us, unfortunately, because of our lack of studies, investigatory studies, that they would kindle the fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you if that's what you're doing, says the Elohim of hosts. Nor will I accept an offering from your hands if you're not doing it according to the way I want you to do it, how I want you to do it, and where I want you to do it. From the rising of the sun, even to the going down. My name shall be great not only among you, but among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, Yah, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Elohim of hosts.
Ooh-wee.
They don't know about me. But he said, but you, Jacob.
It ain't going to be by our hands. It's going to be by the Most High's hand.
By the Most High. But he says to us, but you profane it. And that you said, the table of the Elohim is defiled. You're lying. And its fruit is food. It's contemptible. And you said, oh, what weird, man. We tired of this. You sneer at it, says the Elohim of hosts. You sneer at what I asked you to do. And you bring the stolen, you bring stolen things to my temple. You bring the lame to my temple. And you bring the sick to my temple. Of the sacrifices. Thus you bring an offering? That's what you call
that man's lamb, you're going to sacrifice it to Yah.
Right. And you bring an offering? That's what you call an offering? Should I accept this from your hand, Jaku? Says the Elohim.
They call that blood money, Yah.
Yeah. But he said, but cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow. But you have a good flock in your sheep. You got a good ox. You got the first fruit on the vine who has made his flock. Yeah. And you take a vow, but you sacrifice to the Elohim what is blemished. For I am a great king. Yaku, says the Elohim of hosts. And my name will be feared among the nations. I ain't going to take no disrespect from you, Yaku. Not only you going to get some get right, or you going to get ghosts. And not only you, Yaku, all nations shall fear me. It's going to get there. You going to do what's right, or you going to get ghosts. just as if you won't do what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it, and you're going to bring it to me and tell me I need to accept this? No. I'm a great king, and you're going to recognize. Not only you going to recognize, other nations going to recognize it too. I ain't playing no more. Cottrell, my brother and friend, what's your commentary?
Yes, sir.
What's your commentary, my brother?
Malachi is one of them no-joke prophets. And he don't care what your opinion is of what he's saying. He laid it out the way the Most High wanted him to. And the Most High is angry with us because we think that our salvation comes through the way and the means that other nations bring us. But if they ain't coming in the name of Yah, trust me, they're going to be coming in the name of Yah in the end. So we might as well get on board, get it right, take the antidote, make that appeal to Yah, show us grace and mercy, because that's what we need. We lean in on our own understanding. We're offering polluting offerings to Yah in our own little way. That's making it right with the Most High. But this chapter clearly spells it out. It's a chapter to really reflect on.
Well, Cottrell, thank you for your commentary, my brother. We're looking for another lovely, wonderful psalm, so take it on out of here.
Well, they come back to back. They all lined up. He only wrote, like, so many of them. But we're going to go into Psalm 60.
I love them all.
Oh, yeah, no question. And this psalm right here is apropos to what we just read immediately. Psalm 60, a psalm of King David. O Elohim, you have cast us off. You have broken us down. You have been displeased. Ain't that what we just read? We just read that. And the plea is, O restore us again. You have made the earth tremble. You have broken it, for it is shaking. And it's more true today than it was back in his time. Right? They're crying out for global warming and more intense hurricanes and more fires out west, more drought because of what they call global warming. No, but the earth has been broken. And the appeal is to the Most High to heal it, heal its breaches, heal the breaches in the ocean, heal the breaches in the air, heal the breaches of all the animals that are on the extinct list. All the breaches need to be healed, for it is shaking. You have shown your people hard things. Ain't that the truth? It says you have made us drink the wine of confusion. That's why people ain't got good sense now. So we've drunken the wine of confusion, and we're trying to find logic and reason in the things that we say. But we're not really searching out what happened to us. What's the diagnosis and what's the antidote? And y'all are spelling it out clearly and purely through not only the prophets, but our king, King David. You have given a banner to those who fear you that it may be displayed because of the truth. And that's what we need to be doing, displaying the banner of truth with so many lies swirling in the world, that your beloved may be delivered. And who is Yah's beloved? The nation of Israel, seed of Yah, quote, save with your right hand. And hear me, hear us, hear the prayer of our King, King David. Elohim has spoken in his holiness. And that's what he's reading, the holy words of Yah. That's why they call what we're reading the Old Testament the Holy Bible. Yah's words are holy, pure, true, faithful, still to come. I was about to check them and measure out the valley of Sukkot. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is also the helmet for my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. We just read about Moab.
Exactly.
And I'm going to start breaking it down. Ephraim is the helmet for my head. So in other words, when Yah go to battle, his people going to be with him. And Ephraim and Manasseh represents Joseph. And he said, Judah is my lawgiver, because we know that Judah is the king. But these are the two king tribes, how the nation was separated into two, Yisrael and Yehuda. And we know that Yah loved Joseph and his sons Ephraim and Manasseh, and we also know that he loves Judah. Then he expresses his displeasure with the sons of Lot. He said, Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast my shoe. Philistia shout in triumph because of me. So we know the Philistines, we just read about them. Abimelech, right?
Exactly.
He was the Philistine king. And guess what? He had a dream. He didn't need an Israelite or somebody to interpret the dream. He had direct communication with the Most High, Yah. And Yah was telling him what was wrong with him, and he gave him the antidote. And the wise king Abimelech listened to the words of Yah. He told him to release Sarah to this man, let her go, and everything is going to be A-OK. So we see here, the Most High remembered, Philistia, shout in triumph because of me. So they're another Hamite nation that, you know, we despise, but Yah doesn't despise. He appreciates the Philistines. It wasn't supposed to be completely wiped out. Who will bring me to the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O Elohim? Who's our lead? Who's our commander-in-chief? Who's our king? You can't do anything before the commander-in-chief, the king of the universe, commands us to move. I hope not. And you, O Elohim, who did not go out with our army, and did not you, O Elohim, go out with our army? So we know our history. When we was right with Yah, he did the impossible for us. Every battle we had was a situation where we could not handle ourselves, where we had victory. It was always the Most High who gave us victory, whether it be when Moses went into the land of Egypt to tell Pharaoh, let Yah's people go with his staff and his brother and his sister, or whether it be Joshua marching around the walls of Jericho, a city that never was defeated, and the walls came tumbling down. When Yah fights our battles, we get the victory. So we have to wait. Again, he says, is it not you, O Elohim, and we have been cast off, and you, O Elohim, who did not go out with our army? So you could go out on your own and try to fight nations greater and mightier than yourself without Yah, but it's preferable that we go out when Yah tells us to go out, because Yah saves by few as well as by many. Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. The help of man is what?
Useless.
Don't take that vaccine, because the help of man is what?
Useless.
Through Elohim, we will do valiantly. So Yah put the plague out. We're not taking your vaccine. You and your grandma, your grandpa, everybody in your family, y'all could take it, but we're not taking it. Through Yah, we do valiantly. That's why we're not taking it. For it is He who shall tread down our enemies. We're not worried about the vote. We ain't worried about Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Donald Trump and Mike Pence. No. Most High going to tread down our enemies.
Right.
So we don't need Black Lives Matter. What do you say? Nathan's going to know in that day that I'm Yah. The nations don't know. Vladimir Putin, Xi, Kim Jong-un, Donald Trump, all y'all gotta know, Yah is Yah. God of Israel. You still there, my brother? Yah, I'm Sue. You went silent.
Oh, yeah, I'm still just around, contemplating. Look here. Thank you, Cartrell. Thank you, listeners. Let us not forget those that are affected by Rona, who not only are scattered universally, their minds are scattered too. Fear and panic. Don't let these people get in your head. Fear and panic will cause you to be dead. The Most High said, keep your mind with all diligence. That mind should be focused on I-L-O-M, Yah. If you do that, keep your mind focused on the Elohim Yah, you're going to be all right. Now, if he call you home, you're still going to be all right because you're worried about the wrong thing. Don't let these people put all this panic and fear in you. Just do the right thing by what you got and keep your mind in due diligence. Focus on Yah, doing the right thing. Wash your hands. Keep some distance. Get you some black seed oil.
get some cod liver oil, do your exercises. Don't be eating that you what you should be eating, because I think, to truth be told, these are railroad tracks right to your digestive system. Eating things that you don't supposed to be eating. Rona just taking a railroad car right the way you want to go by virtue of eating things you shouldn't be eating. Pork chops, crab legs, lobster, clams, poke of the pig, whatsoever. Stop eating all this stuff. This stuff is not working for you. This stuff is working against you. Stop eating this stuff. Start eating healthy. Start praying. Start being dedicated. Start calling out to Yah morning, noon, and night. The distress signal to Yah is your hand raised up to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Your hand raised is the distress call. That's your solution. And being humble in that. Contrary, any closing remarks, my brother and friend?
Yes. Just the last two verses of this 60th chapter from the writings of King David.
Okay.
And it's crucial in these times because the words, these little words, our people like verses, right? Let's go to Isaiah 5:7. No, I'll give you two verses. 60:11-12. Give us help from trouble, O Yah, for the help of man is useless. Through Elohim we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. We should put those words on our wall.
Yep. It ain't your AK-47. It ain't your 9mm. It ain't your bow and arrow. It's not your slingshot. You know, it ain't you lifting weights in the gym. Ain't none of that going to take care of you. The Most High will. The Most High will. Thank you, Cottrell. Thank you, listeners, for our investigatory studies. And let us apply these words most importantly to our lives so we can see changes that the Most High has brought forth. No, not changes from Biden or Harris, not changes from Trump or Pence, but changes from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Changes you can believe in because your Creator brought those changes in your lives. Okay? Cottrell, my brother, friend. You ready to get out of here?
Yeah, man. Don't listen to the CDC, FDA, FBI, CIA, Alphabet Boys, LGBTQ, for all that
stuff. Well, don't listen to them because they watching us, on me and Cottrell, all the time, probably watching you long. If you call the radio talk show, they probably watching you too. You know, so they don't trust them. Look at y'all.
The
alpha
man is useless.
Useless.
So Yah, we will do valiantly.
S-U-E-L-E-S-S. Useless. I told you, Katrina, even though just some of the serious stuff is said in humor, but we are men like our forefathers, Isaac. Isaac was a fun guy. People laughed with him because he had a sense of humor. Even though he had a sense of humor, he was very serious about what he said. Just as Cartrell and I are quite serious about what we say, even though we have a sense of humor. We're not dour, and we're not brittle, but we're quite serious about what we're saying. As far as Cartrell whistling. Cartrell whistling. Oh, Cartrell, that's the popo. I thought you was whistling. That's the popo.
Yeah, popo. They're looking for me.
Yeah, they probably looking for me then. May the Most High bless you, listeners. Hey, you know, we love you. Thank you. I love you, brother. And we love you, listeners. And you come on back with us tomorrow for another deep investigatory studies of the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We don't know where you're going, but you're finna get ready to get out of here. May the Most High direct and order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Why? Because your thinkers are broken. Not only are you scattered universally, your minds are scattered too. Because you think you can give the Most High what you want, when you want, and how you want, wherever you want. It never worked like that, and it never will. Well, we got to get out of here and stop moving in the wrong direction. We love you, and may the Most High bless you. Shalom, and good night.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
Where you moving, where you moving, where you moving, oh, oh.